be preparing for those
lists for Parliament. People are preparing themselves to be deployed back to Parliament. Now, nobody wants to be left out. So, really, it's not a surprise that people are not here because they are busy at their constituencies. But anyway, I can see that you are fresh, ready to work. We are going to be trying with our meetings. Next week also we are going to have our meetings because we must finish our program. And may I first take apologies that Ms. Rajbali will join us later. Dr. Rukna Rain is not feeling well today, and Mr. Mchali, Mr. Anthony, what is this? Oh, and Mr. Nene are not with us today. Those are the apologies. And I must say, I'm sure my apology has been tendered yesterday. I couldn't be with you, but thanks to Mr. Zondeki to do my work and for you to allow him to do that. Though I understand you are few, like today I can see it's only few and the majority of our members are not here, ANC members, but that doesn't mean that we can stop doing our work. Today it's only the item of deliberation, and I don't think we are going to be long. More especially, we can just deliberate on what you did yesterday, and I don't think there is any decision can be taken. Even if we take a decision, that cannot be adopted. Or if we have resolutions on something, that can only be adopted when we are in a good number. So today we can just deliberate on what we have. I'll be guided by yourselves on yesterday's deliberation. I think because there were two entities, and I don't think with the UIF, as we all know that UIF has been doing well, but that doesn't mean we cannot say anything about them. And of course, it needs to be looked at, even if they are doing well. But I'm sure we all know that with compensation fund, there are a few things that needs to be looked at. It will be said by yourselves. We know that issues like the accounting system of that is a problem. Things like the filing system, which is not in good, which is not good. The low rate of vacancy also. Those are the things that maybe you have identified, but I will be guided by yourselves on how to go there. Also, Mr. Mzondeki, maybe I should open up for discussions led by Ntate Mzondeki on that. I really don't think we'll be here for more than an hour, because we will also give it a chance again when we have to adopt. But we must push members that before the 6th or before the opening of Parliament, at least we should be somewhere, because next week again we will be coming to try and go through our program, because our program takes us up to the third. We were going to call the department on the third, though they again want us to postpone this, but I have to talk to the DG or to minister himself, because they were assigned to come on the third, and on the fourth will be the CCMA and NEDLAC. So this time really I don't think we should allow them to shift from that date unless they talk to CCMA and NEDLAC, because the fourth we will be meeting with CCMA and NEDLAC. It will be on Wednesday. We are trying to try and finish up our program. We are calling meetings maybe twice or three times a week so that we finish up, because the intention is to finish this. On the next Tuesday, it will be again a consideration on analysis for this 2007-2008 annual report of the department. Now, the 28th will be the briefing, annual reports on Umsobomvu Youth Fund and Productivity South Africa, and they have confirmed on the 28th. Now, the 27th, I think we should also invite the researchers when we will consider that the analysis on 2007-2008. And then on the third, it was scheduled for the department. Now it's really, I don't think I will allow them to shift from there, because we initially asked them for the previous dates, and then they ask to be shifted to the third. Now again from the third, they are telling us that they are dealing with something that needs the acting DG to be there. So maybe they will have to themselves talk to CCMA and NEDLAC to swap that date, and then we will see where to place CCMA. So members, let me give over to yourselves, led by Ntate Mzodniki. So.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity yesterday, and I think I got the best of the cooperation, Chairperson, and also that it went well towards my CV during this time of the lease. So I hope that my bosses are going to note that. Chairperson, I just have a few things that I picked up, and I'm sure the members can just add on that. My first presentation was by UIF, and they gave us a good picture of what is happening there. We know that the UIF is doing very well at this point in time. However, they have noted some of the challenges that they may encounter. One of them is the fact that with the trend of unemployment that might be coming, that might pose some challenges to them. I picked up the question of the poor registration of the taxi industry was noted as a matter of concern. Currently, they have only about 5,000 taxis registered, taxi owners registered, and that's an area that they need to deal with. One of the things that they are citing there is that because of the driver-owner situation, that you have the driver at some point is also an owner, it's creating problems. The second, and I'm sure the members can dwell on that and talk to that. The second area that they raised was the delay by the employers to report, or shall we say, and also to do the declarations on time. That causes delay if there is any claim that is made by a person that wants to apply. The information is not because they've got to go back to the employer to get the fund, and that causes lots of delays. I think that's a matter of concern that they've raised. So it's a matter that needs attention. The other area which was raised by Mrs. Dreyer was the question of the agencies. They are do not find the time, or for some reasons, illness and other reasons, prefer not to go to the, or are not able to go to the fund themselves, and therefore they use the agencies who on behalf of the claimants do the work. But the problem is that the fund is not allowed, or is not, its policy is that they do not pay money into the agency itself. They must pay the money into the to the beneficiary, yes. And then I'm sure if there are any things that I've left out, I'm sure Mrs. Dreyer can speak to that, because she wanted clarity on that. I think the other issue that was raised, and this was raised by Mr. Lavoskagni, it is the question of the balance between the profits and the benefits. Because it became very clear that we're making so many profits, but we don't see, you know, an increase in the benefits. And I think it's a challenge that they are having. One of the highlights that they've made was that it's their effort. Because of the coming retrenchments, they have now started to go to the site. So they take the fund to the site and they go and do the processes on the site, and which seems to be something that is working very well. Instead of people all flocking to the fund offices, they take the offices to the site, and I think that's taking delivery to the people, and I think that was a very positive one. And just lastly, which is something that I've picked up in the analysis, is that they have not talked to the equity report in terms of gender, disability, and so on. They were very silent on that. Those are the areas that I've picked, and I've not said what were the comments and all that, and I'm allowing the members to just say that, just to remind them that these are the issues that came that I have picked up, and I'm sure members can add on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mzo. Any addition, Mrs. Freya?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yes, just to add on to what Mr. Zondekia said, he was quite correct in emphasizing the agents. I raised that point, but it was a little bit, I just want to elaborate a little bit. They said, you know, they don't want to pay into the agent's account, but directly into the beneficiary's account. There was another issue, though, apart from that. They said they're not keen on using agents or acknowledging agents, because they said the agents take a cut. For obviously, you know, for the work that they do on behalf of the beneficiaries. Now, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that, and I don't think that that's what I think we as a committee should say, that it's not for the Unemployment Insurance Fund to tell people that they can or cannot use agents because agents take a cut. It's the individual beneficiary's choice to decide whether you're prepared to take a cut of your benefit that you claim to pay the agent to do that work and to stand in the queue all day long on your behalf. That's up to the individual to make that decision. Or some people may decide that's worth their while, and they're quite happy to pay a certain percentage of what they receive over to the agent to take the inconvenience and the time factor out of their way. Some people may not be prepared, and they obviously, of course, won't use agents. They will go and stand in the queue by themselves. But we shouldn't take away the choice of the individual to make that decision.
With one correction, that in fact, because maybe we're confusing the two. Actually, the people that made an emphasis that they are not going to be paying to the, it's the lawyers where I was asking a question with the compensation fund. The RAF situation, where lawyers are taking a bulk of the thing. And it's in that the situation where the compensation fund was saying that they are not willing to pay. Remember what the road accident fund lawyers do. They pay the money into the trust instead of directly to the the beneficiary. I think that's the part of the compensation fund that was raising that issue. But of course, the UIF also said that they don't pay directly to the agencies. But as to the choice and all those things, I think Mrs. Dre is right that it may be something that we would want to debate. But the emphasis about not paying to the trust, remember the question that, I mean, the biggest problem that we'll be having now with the road accident fund is that the money goes into the lawyer's trust instead of going to the beneficiary, and then that was the compensation fund specifically that was raising that matter. I hope I'm correct, Mr. Labuska.
I think what they did basically imply is that they couldn't make special arrangements for agents in a preferential, you know, to cure and so forth. I think that's what they also implied, you know, just because agents have a number of people, they can't have a special queue or line for agents as opposed to ordinary people.
Did the agency maybe need a special arrangement or what? Or are they not taken as those who are not having agents?
Maybe I can help out there, Madam Chair. You see, what the agency do, they collect from a number of their clients, so they've got a whole file of documents ready. Maybe they've come with 10 or 15 or 20 at a time on a particular day. They also wait in the queue. They get to the front of the queue, they've got 15 claim forms instead of just one as the other individuals. And I think the fund...
That's where the problem is.
Yeah, they're not sure how to handle that and they're unhappy. But they also, I think, although I can understand the fund say, well, we can't now deal with 15, one person in a queue, while there are other 15 clients waiting behind you. But there's also the other side. The agencies do a lot of the work for the fund beforehand. They make it easier because they make sure they've got all the forms ready. They've got filled in everything. They've got the ID numbers, the affidavits if necessary, certified documents. They prepare everything. So then nothing further needs to be done once you get to the front of the queue at the counter. All the agency has to do is to actually just receive it and acknowledge it and sign the forms. There's no admin really to be done once you get to the queue. And that's not the case with many other people who stand there individually, so they often start from scratch. So the agencies also help the fund in speeding up the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you want us to deliberate on that now, because I would have a different view and say, well, if that is correct, it is becoming very unfair, because only those that can afford to pay, because you pay to the agencies, they do not do free work whilst you're getting a free service from the UIF. And I think they did stress that they are doing a free service and the agency makes the people pay. So if you can't pay, it means that unfortunately you've got to wait in the queue. And if you can pay, then you take the shortcut. And I think that's problematic for me. But I think it's a matter that we can debate.
For those who cannot pay, really being on the queue, I think that's where a special arrangement should be made to assist those who are on the queue, because the agency will be taking much time than one person there. I don't know, maybe Mr. Spies?
From a different point of view, I think...
Your mic.
Chairperson, we should be careful not to end up in a situation where we justify underperformance and we actually force the public to be satisfied with underperformance. We are keeping on talking about queues. There shouldn't be queues. The service delivery at those centres should be of such a nature that there are no queues, that people are helped when they arrive there. The reason why these agents appeared is the fact that young mothers of young babies cannot see their way fit to go and stand in a queue and wait for a certain payment. So that's why they went to the agents. And it's not an issue of them being able to pay. They are actually sacrificing a part of their benefit in order to get 80% of what they are supposed to get, and it's not the fault of the agent, it's the fault of the fund that is not delivering the service that it's supposed to be delivering. And I think one principle that we've applied in South Africa, but with lots of success, and which could also be applied in this regard, is the principle of public-private partnerships. If we stop seeing these agents as potential threats to service delivery, and we start seeing them as potential partners in service delivery, and we could structure mechanisms of creating partnerships also with these agents in order to make service delivery more accessible to people, then we are going to solve the problem. We are not going to spread the problem across the entire population, because what we are doing now is to say, well, people who can afford to pay for less of a problem, those people should be punished because we are not able to deliver a service or an adequate service to poor people. And I think that's not the right way of reasoning. Thank you.
So what you are saying, that would be an advice to the fund then, how to improve.
If I could make a suggestion of a possible proposal to the fund, it would be that the fund should investigate the principle of public-private partnerships that's been used by government with lots of success in other aspects. To investigate those principles and applying that principle to improve their service delivery.
Do we agree with it? I think that's a good advice or proposal. Yeah. Do we have anything else on from what Mr. Mzondeki reported?
I think the one interesting point was that the commissioner for the UIF said that they looking to, in because of the sound financial state of the UIF, to consider extending the benefit payments for a further period of time. In other words, I think it's currently, Mr. Long was he did say that instead of increasing the benefits, that an increase of the number of days, currently 238 days, to be increased to 275, would extend the social net. So this is a welcome consideration, which should be supported.
Are you with the idea, Mr. Spies? I really don't think, as you have said, with UIF, we are not saying they are perfect, but indeed we need to look at things like that.
I do think they should give them credit for the fact that they have a continual record of good audits, clear audits, and also recognized even by the Department of Labor as one of the best sort of institutes, or whatever you want to call it, falling out of the Department of Labor. So I think we should give them their credit in this regard as well. Well, they're not perfect, but they certainly do deserve credit for.
No, indeed. For them to really keep it there, we need to say something. They indeed deserve that credit. I don't know what their existing program within the department. Will they really support those programs? I don't know if you've ever come across the issue of their programs. The existing programs within the department, I don't know if UIF really supports that, or you haven't. Let's say if a new program will be created, how will they be structured, things like that, maybe. I don't know if they've... Though, I'm sure it was themselves, we didn't have somebody from the department maybe to say, talk about the programs, their programs yesterday. It was only the fund themselves. Let's leave that, but end it up where Mr. Labuschagne is saying they really need credit. And let's now concentrate on
the taxi situation. They have requested that if members can give assistance, for instance, if they have to hold meetings in the various constituencies, that we could avail ourselves and give support to that, because they have these ongoing discussions with the taxi industry. And I'm sure if members want to support that or not.
Indeed, I don't think if members has the information, or if they could have had things like leaflets, also their programs, I think will be prepared to assist them, even to accompany them if they are in our province when doing that. I think that we agree with. There's no problem, no problem. Okay. Metwala, anything on that?
No, in an agreement, Chairperson.
Can we quickly go to those points? Is there anything? That day, Nzo, was that all? Your mic, Ntate.
The employers must be encouraged to declare in time, so that there are no delays when people go and claim, that they only have to get information at the time of the application. Another thing is that it must be an ongoing campaign.
On compensation fund?
Of course, they have raised the problem that the manual system which they are still using it's giving serious problems, like all kinds of delays that are caused by that. Hence, you are unable to phone and get a response. If you phone Mr. Labeskagne, he will give you another answer. If you phone myself, I will give you another answer, because all of us are using pieces of papers. There is nothing that goes, that gets scanned, goes into the system, and all of us can give you one answer. So none of us, then we keep on cutting the trees so that we can be able to fax all the time. And I think that's the problematic. Also, they have not decentralized as well as they should. In fact, I think they are still doing very badly in that they have decentralized to a very little minimum. If you are to get anything final, you must still go to Pretoria. You can't go to the to the Labour Center and get a finality, or at least a final answer on your claim. So that's a matter of concern. And also there's a question of the 4 million rand of unclaimed benefits, I think that's what it is called. They are unable to get responses when they try and they use their addresses and trace those people, so that those people can get their traces. So maybe, Chairperson, you also have got your money that's still outstanding there. So, but I really don't know whether there are ghosts there or it's real beneficiaries. And I think the challenge for all of us, how do we, you know, get that 4 million to be distributed to the rightful owners. So it's something that I think we can talk about and see how we can assist in that. And I think lastly is the question of their image. They were saying that they are trying to work on the image instead of putting more emphasis on the employers to declare on time and all those kind of things. Rather also have an emphasis on what services do they offer. But I think, you know, the members, Mrs. Treya said that, well, they do not have to work so hard on building the image. Their service must create the image for them. And then I think, which is true, that if they start working, once they must do something about, you know, their communication strategy and all that. But I think the best one is your service delivery. If you service the people very well, they just get a good image of you. I did not go into detail, Chairperson. And then, of course, the question of vacancies is automatic. There is a very lean staff, because what has been happening is that they have been using outside contractors, which then are not counted in the number of staff. So you see a very lean staff that is servicing a lot of clients, and you ask yourself a question that, I mean, there's a lot of work that happens there. But the question, I mean, the problem is that the people that are contractors, that are outsiders, you know, outside contractors, are not counted in the permanent staff. So it's a problem that they need to deal with. And you know the problems of the outside people, questions of accountability and all those kind of things that you need to deal with. And I'm sure members can add on other things that I've left out.
Maitreya? Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I agree with Mrs. Zondeki. And if I can just add on a little bit more on two points. The last one, he says, you know, they operate on a lean staff, but it looks like it, but in reality they've got a lot of others, but because they are contractors, it's not reflected. But there was another thing that Mr. Shadrach Makontu emphasized. He says they've actually advertised, and they've had interviews, and the selection process has been completed, and they've now made recommendations to appoint people, especially in the management level. But now they're waiting for the qualification, the verification process of the qualifications of these people. And he kind of bemoaned his lot with us that it takes such a long time. He says the civil service has got a huge bureaucracy, and there are so many steps to go through, and he doesn't know when this verification process will be completed so that he can actually appoint these people. And I think that's a problem. I could see his frustration. I wasn't as hard on him yesterday as I wanted to be because of all the problems with the compensation, because he disarmed us with, you know, in a charming way, being so open and honest and just acknowledging all the problems. So you almost felt sorry for him. And this is one point where I really had sympathy with him. He said they've done everything from his side. They want to appoint these people, but they're waiting now. Someone else does the verification, and it's just taking so long. So that must certainly be speeded up. I think that's a recommendation to maybe the department. No, it's not the compensation fund. It's not really in their hands, was my impression. So that's maybe the Department of Labour as such. But they're holding back the appointment process in the fund. The second point was, while he was explaining to us very well that they are kind of under construction, so to speak, and they're building up a new management team, and obviously it takes time, and Siemens is now looking at getting the systems to, various systems to talk to each other, but this is going to take also take some time, and he said they're looking at implementation at 2010. Now, it's only the beginning of 2009, and 2010 possibly means the end of 2010, so we have to look at another 2 years. In the meantime, there are lots, hundreds, thousands of supposed beneficiaries who are not getting the benefits that they're entitled to. And my sympathy is with those people. They've been injured, some have been disabled, they're now unemployed, and they're entitled to benefits, and they don't get them because of the problems at the fund. We've got to look at an interim measure in the next 2 years, until they finalize this fancy computer system and got Siemens to, you know, solve all the problems. What happens in the meantime to all these people who are desperate? We should make a recommendation that they should look at interim or temporary measures to address those problems.
No, I would really agree with you. It's really very sad when you look at the in terms of human resource management, the number of posts they have really not filled. Something needs to be done. That
Thank you. I don't want to rehash. I mean, he was very, as I said to him, it's a good tactic when you confess everything. It's very difficult to get Gnostic in. But I
think in terms of, I would like to suggest two or three recommendations for consideration by the committee here, is that the Department of Labor and the Public Service, call on the Department of Labor and the Public Service Commission to expedite the filling of posts. This is a department that deals with injured and poor people, unfortunate people. That's the one. The other one is that we recommend that the Compensation Commissioner report to this committee every 6 months, not wait for the annual report. You know, we are looking at stuff that ended really, over almost a year ago, so that we must have interim reports to see how all these measures that are being put in place and the challenges that they say they are looking at, that we don't wait another year before we get them here. So interim reports. And the other thing, and I would seriously like to recommend that in view of the fact that the backlog of, and this is a backlog that goes back to 2000, that a special task team be appointed, whether by outside contract or not, to bring the backlog up to within a year. You know, let a special team look at all those backlogs. But, you know, you have people that are waiting 6-7 years. Now, they have done a lot to remove the backlog. But if they can't manage to sort of, in view of their current claims, which are many, and then the backlog is still flying there, to appoint a dedicated team to really to eliminate the backlog to, you know, a reasonable period. That you know, doesn't extend for more than a year or something. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought you'd say something about these contractors, because it's a problem, really. We need to deal with the issue of contractors, because you may assume that there is a staff members there, and yet are contractors. I don't know if you have something to say on that. Because this issue of the backlogs, it's because of shortage of staff, and already they are used to contractors. This contractors should be stopped, totally stopped, and like you are saying, a special team to be appointed, to get rid of that.
Perhaps I didn't express myself properly. I don't have a problem if they appoint outside contractors. The work must be done. That's the first choice. I mean, if you look at their vacancy rate, they only have a 5% vacancy rate. if we look at the annual report, page 39, you see the number of posts is 659, and they filled 620. So the vacancy is very small. But they have additional posts to the staff of 294, additional posts. So there doesn't seem to be a tremendous shortage of staff. I mean, the 5% is a very low vacancy rate in the civil service. So they do, as he said to me, he said that there are additional staff that, which I looked up beyond page 39, are there. But I don't want to say, express myself with, if the, ideally, the civil servant should do its job. But I'm not going to say they can't do the job and they've got to hire outside contractors to help them to do the job so that the people can be served. I don't want to complain about that. It's the sooner they can do the job, the better. But if it's the only way of getting delivery through to get a public-private partnership or outside contractors, I'm quite comfortable with that. But what I'm saying is that to eliminate this backlog, some of them going back 6, 7, 8 years, you know, they're eating away at it, that there should be a dedicated team to clear that backlog. And if it needs appointing a special outside contractors to clear that backlog, then we must go that way. But I'm not prepared to, you know, I think the emphasis should be the poor people who are waiting for a decision on their compensation.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The issue of contract is not a problem, but the problem is with contract workers or contract posts. Really, we need to have people to be employed permanently, not in being in contract.
No, let me agree with Mr. Labaskakhni that I also agree that we need to seriously consider this special team that can deal with the backlog. But I think the reality is that it wouldn't be advisable for them to immediately employ permanent staff because he's saying he's going under reconstruction. In other words, he's got to look at what are the appropriate positions that he needs. So that when he decides to appoint permanent people, he knows exactly. It's almost like he's building the car afresh. So he still has to know what is it that he needs. So that at the end of the day, he now has got the appropriate, complements, for the positions that he wants in his, and then he can appoint those people on a permanent basis. So there is no way that we can avoid the outside people now because the work has to happen. The client must not suffer. So I think we need a mixture. Whilst he's pushing to go towards increasing his lean complement as it is now, ensure that the contractors that are there are accountable. And maybe something that we need to look at is the, what is it called, the service level agreement? Is that what we call it? You know, service for the contractors, when you service level agreement, because that's something that I don't think we monitor. We just give people work to do for 2 years, and then we don't review, we just and extend the contract, and that's something that we need to. I mean, you can see what is happening, for instance, on the people that are paying out the pensions and all those kind of things. We just continue to renew without actually looking at the kind of service that they are giving us. So I'm saying that as we are monitoring that, then they give him the space to be able to work towards establishing a permanent staff. The question of Siemens, he said one of the problems he's got is that they are locked in a contract until 2012. And I don't know what we've had with Siemens there. They've been there for ages. But the weakness that I don't know how to give people so long contracts. They've been failing. And then maybe it's how we monitor performance, and it's something that we need to look at. But I agree, Shepherd, that we need to have the special team and encourage them that they must work with speed towards having a permanent staff so that we don't really rely too much on that. At the end of the day, like Mr. Spitz was saying, that the civil service must be seen to be delivering the service, not rely on agencies and outside. Whilst we are encouraging the triple P's, but the civil service has got a responsibility. Thank you.
Yeah, the team will be looking at this, the issue of verification, because they're talking about verification by the department, which is delaying all of that. So I think really that proposal will assist, because really we can't allow the department to delay the system in that way. So meaning that when meeting with the department, they should be able to tell us how are they assisting the fund on in that matter. Is there anything else on that? Now that it will also cover the issue of capacity, but while looking for that team, also the issue of capacity to be addressed, because it also contributes on that. Mr. Space?
Just one last point, and I'll hold my peace. You see, he says he's got a number of posts additional to the staff establishment. And I've just made a quick calculation here. It's most probably looks like 40% of his staff is additional, because he says the number of posts are 659, of which 620 are full, that's 29, 5%, but additional is 294. That's just over 40%. I do think perhaps in the next annual report, the question of the additional posts should be clarified. You know, a little more clarified as to the nature of the jobs and the type of additional posts there are. Because we don't know what are the additional posts. You know, are they cleaners? Or are they people who are actually in the production side? We don't know. But just as a for the annual report, they should perhaps just give a little more detail to the additional staff required and why, and their functions.
I'll support that, but to just say that not wait for the annual report. We said that I think there's a recommendation that we must have interim reports. So in the next 6 months, they must actually, when they come back here, they must tell us what are these vacancies. And also, I think as we look at that, then the question of the public service assisting us to speed up this vacancy, filling up of vacancies, because he can have this additional posts if they are not going to be, their recruitment processes are so slow that in another 3 years we'll be sitting with vacancies that cannot be filled because of the bureaucracies that we have in terms of filling in those posts. So again, he will be sitting with a lean staff because the posts have not been approved. So I think we need to, as we push towards them clarifying the additional posts, but also push the public service to ensure that we speed up the recruitment process.
Yeah, I know that we once agreed about the 6 months. We even we made mention the quarterly basis report for what really stops them to report quarterly, even if we are not calling them, but they should be prepared for that report in case we call them quarterly. Really, I don't think that it can be a problem. This thing of annual reports, we are still going to be calling them annually, but those 6 months, every 6 months, they should be able to tell us. Yeah, I don't know if the main thing was the low rate of vacancies, and of course the issue of capacity. I think that is a challenge, and I don't know if you spoke about the risk management unit, the structure for the risk management.
In Shepherdson, there is a tender out for a risk management function that they said, it's, you know, I said there are three tenders, if I recall, the accounting services, the risk management function, and the internal audit function. Those are the three tenders that they said to be. They have tendered, they've already tendered, the tenders are already out there. I think some of them have been, they've already got the applicants, and I think they are finalizing on that. Hence, they are saying that their target date is that by March, maybe, they must have tendered out. And the just the question of the vacancies, to see it in a context, is that whilst it does not look like it's a problem, it is because of the lean structure. So I don't want to link it to the capacity. I think I want to link it that we need to understand it clearly, that it looks like it's a very low rate of vacancies. It is because of their lean structure. So I just want the members to understand that. I think this is what Mr. Labaskakhne was emphasizing, that it looks like they are doing well because they are not talking to the other people who are doing a service, but who are outside the permanent structure. And I agree with you that maybe they need to quickly work towards having a permanent structure so that we can see how the vacancy rate then changes.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd want to end up there with those issues, and maybe to when we really don't have time to come back to this. But as I've said, this we cannot really take or adopt these resolutions, but we will try and get a report that will be adopted when meeting for some other issues or meeting with other entity before meeting with, then we adopt some of the reports. But if there is something that maybe members would want to add or submit in writing, we can always really add in our report, because really this fund needs to be assisted. The department will have to account, or when they come on the 4th, if they are going to talk to those entities which are supposed to be coming to us on the 4th, then maybe we can raise some of the questions concerning especially this compensation fund. I don't know if are we leaving something out. I said we are going to have a short meeting, really. Nzo?
Finally, Chair, the question of the 400 million. I don't know whether we can have access to those beneficiaries that they are looking for, that we can assist. Maybe people are sitting somewhere in our constituents. I don't know. But maybe it's something that we can ask, if our offices can play a role to try and look for those people. So that we really... But I would also recommend that the task team that Ms. Labaskakhne is recommending, that it also partly deals with that as well, and many other backlogs that are there.
Yeah, I'm sure in terms of guiding this team, it's to come up with those points. But if members would think of something, they can always send that to PET to say we want this task team to do 1, 2, 3. And if they agree, they will tell. If there are any difficulties in doing that, then they will tell us. But for the department must tell us, because now that issue of verification, we cannot just leave it hanging, because now it seems here the fund has got a problem with the department, and the department is not really moving around that. Enzo?
Can we just have a special request that we finalize the program in time, because of, as you can see, members are not here because of all these political others, so that when we come to Parliament, we know that there is definitely a meeting. I know that there are changes. For instance, department wants to come to another date. I'm not sure what we're going to do with the ex-mine workers. EIF was saying, Mr. Saro was saying that he is ready to report. There's some work that is done in that area, but I'm not sure if we want to take a report now. But if we can just finalize that so that as members go back by the end of this week, they know at least how to plan their work for the other week that's coming. Thank you.
Indeed, you are right, more especially when we close, last time we said we are going to prioritize this issue of ex-mine workers, but unfortunately they couldn't be, they were on top on the list, but they said members are scattered all over, and we can now give them a date, because they sent us a letter here about this briefing on progress report. They are prepared. They are prepared. But by that time, they were not available. We'll see how to swap. It's only that we thought the department will be able to meet with the department before meeting all these heads of the annual reports. But like I'm saying, we have asked them. They even gave us this date on the set. They now want to change it to be for the third time now. So they were going to see us on the set and these other entities on the fourth. Now maybe I'll have to phone them to say they should just arrange that with themselves, so that entity, so that we meet with them on. It will be on Wednesday. I know that Wednesdays are very difficult for members because they are attending other committees. But if you can just try and prioritize our program to be there. According to our program, really, it's going to end up on the 10th. And it will be only Tuesdays and Wednesdays for us to push the program. So I don't think we can, after finalizing this, Pat can always send you again the program in your pigeonholes. Members, thank you very much. I know that really we've taken you out of your busy schedule, but thank you for coming. The meeting is adjourned.